Certainly take a moment to recognize all our veterans. Thank you for your service to our nation. Why don't you give all these men and women a hand of applause real quickly. And I realize that's really for Veterans Day. Memorial Day is really aimed at remembering those who have died in our service to our nation. And yesterday, it really rang true with me, and as I've had the privilege and the high honor several times in the past, but yesterday it really rang true as I had an opportunity to preach the funeral of a World War II veteran, Mr. Charles Neal. He was 101 years old. Just think about all the different changes that that man saw, and there's been many times I've had an opportunity to sit at his feet and to listen to what we call some of those war stories, but just real quickly, I'll share with what he had told me one time was, he says the very same moment was his highlight and his low light during the war. He was one of the liberators at Thornton House. He says, Brother Terry, he says, I can't understand how humans could treat other humans that way. He said, it had to be one of the lowest times of my life, but also one of the greatest times of my life. Because him being a Christian, this was his perspective on this. He says, what a privilege it was to liberate God's people. Over 60,000 people were imprisoned in that concentration camp. Wow. America, Memorial Day is for remembering. If we do not remember the nation that we were, we are doomed to repeat history over and over again. We have to go back to our roots that were founded and established in this great document. Yes, a piece of paper that was called the Constitution, but that piece of paper is not what makes it. I believe that it was God's hand upon those men and women as he really, I think, filled them in order to be able to frame a great nation. America is different. Make no mistake about it. And I don't say that with a sense of arrogance. I don't say that with a sense of stiff-neckedness. I don't say that as making me superior because I was born in America. Absolutely not. But I do know from who God is that God has the heart of a nation and he still desires to bless a place called America. But old church, for us to be able to sing that song, for him to bless us from sea to shining sea, we too have to be his people. We have to come back, and I believe to some degree, maybe we need to be liberated ourselves today in Christ Jesus. If you would open your Bibles with and turn to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 5. I want to share with you this morning, I don't mean to be a prophet of gloom and doom, but I want to show you this morning, I believe four mistakes that was made in Babylon. I believe those same mistakes are being made in a place called America today. Again, I don't mean to be a gloom and doom prophet, but what I am saying, hey, somebody needs to sound the alarm. Somebody needs to speak up and say, church, we better turn back. America, we better turn back to God before it's an everlasting too late. We are in a nation, in a battle in this nation for our very soul. And I know there's a lot of hyperbole and there's a lot of exaggeration going on today. But I'm serious when I say that regardless of who we have in the White House, Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter. Our nation, there is no mistake, we have had a serious moral decay, especially over the last couple of decades, it seems like. And that's under my watch. I love America. I am a patriot through and through. I love America, but I do not love some of the things that she's become. And church, it's high time that we stand up and get a backbone and speak the word of God again. This prophet Daniel, he spent some time in a lion's den. The lions didn't eat him. I heard an old preacher say one time, the reason that those lions didn't eat Daniel because he wasn't nothing but all backbone. Maybe something to that. But America, We need to start remembering our past. Our society and our culture, and especially anything that's Christian, seems to be collapsing. But there is still hope for a place called America. For those who are in Christ Jesus, God will always have His remnant. There is still hope. Daniel chapter 5. I'm going to read this entire chapter. I realize it's a rather lengthy reading, but I want us to understand fully what's going on. King Nebuchadnezzar has died. He made his mistakes. He crashed and burned. God punished him. God brought him back to his senses. That's kind of where we close out in chapter 4. It was those 7 periods of time that he literally lived like a beast. God got his attention. And Nebuchadnezzar truly had that moment where he realized that it is the God Most High that rules and reigns, that he is sovereign over mankind. But look in chapter 5. We go right into chapter 5, and Belshazzar, the king, had a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles, and he was drinking wine in the presence of the thousands. Something you might need to know about what's happening by the time we get into chapter 5. It's been 2 decades. And now the Medes and the Persians were literally at the gate. They were outside of the great city wall of Babylon. You see, they thought this wall would protect them. They put their security in what man had built and what man had done. And on the inside, they were throwing this great drunken party. In verse 2, when Belshazzar tasted the wine, he gave orders to bring the gold and the silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar, his father, actually his grandfather, had taken, and the word is synonymously interchanged, and he says he had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, so that the king, his nobles, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. In case you don't know that, that's a huge no-no to be playing around with God and His holiness in that way. We'll talk about that in a little bit later. In verse 3, it says that they brought the gold vessels that had been taken out of the temple and the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles and his wives and his concubines, and they drank from them. And then they drank the wine, and they praised the gods, the little G-O-Ds of God, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. And suddenly, the fingers of a man's hand emerged and began writing opposite of the lampstand on the plaster of the walls of the king's palace. And the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. And then the king's face grew pale, and his thoughts alarmed him, and his hips joints went slack, and his knees began knocking together. Imagine that scene. The king called about aloud to bring in the conjurers, the Chaldeans, the diviners. And the king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, any man who can read this inscription and explain its interpretation to me shall be clothed in purple, have a necklace of gold around his neck, and have authority as a third ruler in all the kingdom. And all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the inscription or to make known its interpretation to the king. And then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed. His face grew even paler, and his nobles were perplexed. The queen entered a banquet hall because of the words of the king and his nobles. And the queen spoke and said, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts alarm you or your face be pale. There is a man in your kingdom in whom there is a spirit of the holy gods. She'd come close to getting that right. And he says, in the days of God your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father to the king, appointed him the chief of the magicians, the conjurers, the Chaldeans, and the diviners. And this was because an extraordinary spirit, she's getting warmer now, an extraordinary spirit, knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanations of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel, who the king named Belteshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and he will declare the interpretation. The king, then Daniel was brought in before the king, and the king spoke and said to Daniel, are you that Daniel who is one of the exiles from Judah, who my father the king brought from Judah? Now I have heard about you that a spirit of the gods is in you, that illumination, insight, and extraordinary wisdom has been found in you. Just now the wise men and the conjurers brought in before you that they might read this inscription and make its interpretation known to me, but they could not. But they could not declare the interpretation of the message. But I have personally heard about you and that you are able to give interpretation, solve difficult problems. Now, if you are able to read the inscription and make its interpretation known to me, You will be clothed with purple and wear a necklace of gold around your neck, and you will have authority as a third ruler in the kingdom. I love Daniel's answer. Then Daniel answered and said to the king, keep it to yourself. I don't want it. Keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. However, I will read the inscription to the king and make the interpretation known to him. And here he goes, O king, the Most High God granted sovereignty, grandeur, glory, and majesty to Nebuchadnezzar, your father. He says, because of the grandeur which he bestowed on him, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language feared and trembled before him. Whomever he wished, he killed, and whomever he wished, he spared alive, and whomever he wished, he elevated, and whomever he wished, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit became so proud, you see, right there is America's problem. We're a prideful people today. Became so proud that he behaved arrogantly. He was disposed from his royal throne, and his glory was taken away from him. He was also driven away from mankind, and his heart was like that of a beast. And his dwelling place was with the wild donkeys. He was given grass to eat like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he recognized that the Most High God is ruler over the realm of mankind and that he sets over it whomever he wishes. Yet you, here comes the other foot. It is about to fall. He says, but you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all this. But you have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before you. And you and your nobles, your wives, your concubines, you've been drinking wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver, gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see, hear, or understand. But the God in whose hands are your life breath, and in all your ways, you have not glorified. Listen up, America. Listen, O church. Listen, Christian. He says, then the hand was sent from him, and this inscription was written out. He says, now, this is the inscription that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, leparson. This is the interpretation of the message. He says, mene, he says, God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. Number two, he says, Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and you have found deficient. You are short of the glory of God. He says in Peres, which is, Euparson is the plural of Peres. He says, your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar gave orders, and they clothed Daniel with purple, put a necklace of gold around his neck, issued a proclamation concerning that now he had authority as the third ruler in the kingdom. Now listen to this. That same night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. So Darius the Mede received the kingdom at about the age of 62. May God bless the reading of the word. I realize that's a long reading. That's a lot of things to take in there. But I want us to kind of line up where Babylon was and where America is today. And then what we're doing, if it doesn't begin to strike some simile, some simulation, some identical picture that we begin to grasp and see that we are also making some of the same mistakes that they're making here in this time. And let me tell you, beloved, again, if we don't remember, we'll make the same mistakes that this man made. We'll make the same mistakes as a nation that this nation made. You thought at this time Babylon was the only superpower on the face of the earth. They thought they were too big to fail. And in less than two decades' time, and literally over one night, God said, you're done. Don't think for a moment that America can't fail. Don't think for a moment that we can fill God's cup. And there may be a day when God says, I've taken all I can take. Because we become prideful. Because we forget to exalt Him as the Most High God. We want it to be all about us. That's what they did then. And if we're not careful, that's what we're doing as a nation today. So listen, I want to share with you four mistakes that they were making. And these mistakes all began to lead to a danger, a point of danger. Danger number one, the danger of losing all sense of remembrance. The danger of losing all sense of remembrance. You see, there have been 2 decades that have gone by, and Belshazzar, his grandfather, he knew these stories. He remembered his grandfather. He knew all these things. He had been taught. He had been told. He probably even witnessed it, most likely, that his grandfather went absolutely mad. He was put out the field. He, let's say, he just had the long hair, the long cloth, everything about him. He didn't even begin to resemble a man because God had absolutely crushed him in his arrogance, in his pride. Over 2 decades, and now Belshazzar, he had forgotten that valuable, that expensive lesson from the past. He had become prideful. Let me tell you, beloved, throughout the Bible, anytime you see the word pride, it is always the forerunner of destruction. Pride is always the forerunner of destruction. If you don't believe it, let me give you a hit list. Satan in heaven swelled up in his pride. He was destroyed. He was sent out of the presence of God. Adam and Eve in the garden, they got caught up in their pride. They were crushed. They were sent out of the garden. King David thought he had all that in a bag of chips. He became prideful in his sin and arrogant, and God took the kingdom away from him. And when we begin to just continue to go down that list, and Simon Peter, the disciple, he became prideful and arrogant, and God crushed him. It is always goes before the fall, before destruction. America, we need to remember. We need to remember that we used to honor, we used to worship God openly, unashamedly. This generation that I just talked about that came back from those wars, you know what they did? They weren't done when they got done with whipping the world. They come back home and they built a nation. You know what they saw fit to put on virtually every government building that they built with their hands? In God we trust. You go to D.C. today, there's still the law there on the justice of the Supreme Court. You still see a carved image of Moses and the law, the ancient law of Israel is written there. It used to be on our courthouse walls, the Ten Commandments. On our currency. Thank God we still hadn't changed that. On our currency. In God we trust. Oh, America, we better not lose all sense of remembrance of who we are, where we came from, how God lifted this nation up out of nothing and blessed us. We used to openly sing. I don't know, as a little boy, and I said, I know I'm getting old, and some of these references may not even hit with some of y'all here. But I remember, that's one thing I told about at Brother Neil's funeral yesterday. I said, you know, you lived a long time when all your pictures are in black and white, and they were shot from a Polaroid camera. But I remember having TV when it was black and white. And I remember when the TV would come on and when the TV would go off. Y'all remember? There'd be Kate Smith there, God bless America, land that I love. Woo! In the evening when they signed off, they'd put that old Indian head on the screen there and they'd play the national anthem. Sometimes there'd be a flag waving, but they'd play the national anthem. Now we've got 24/7 TV, we've got all kinds of cable, and they have trash all over them. We've become prideful. We've become arrogant. We used to openly, as a people, even as a nation, we used to openly give credit, give glory to God for our blessings. Just as Jeff had some of us to raise our hands today and says, I thank God. I thank God. I thank God. We need to do that more openly when we're outside of these circles. I'm going to do my dead level best to try to stay apolitical in this sermon, okay, y'all? If my mouth is bleeding by the end because I've been bit my tongue probably half a dozen times before I get there. But I am going to say that I don't care regardless of your political affiliation. It had to please you to watch an American president to walk and put his hands on the Wailing Wall. I believe if there's anything that flows from a blessing, God has made it very clear. If you bless Israel, I will bless you. If you stand against her, I'll stand against you. You curse her, I'll curse you. I was so pleased. I don't, affiliations left or right. I don't care if you like the man, hate the man. I thought it was pretty cool an American president went there and laid his hand on that wall and says, we stand with Israel. I rejoiced in hearing that very clear message. Over the last 2 decades, Belshazzar ruined a nation. America is different. You come to the shores of the Western Hemisphere, you go to the North, our French settler friends that found a place called Canada, they went there looking for gold and they found fur. To our South and across the border, those that went into Mexico and Central America, they went there, the Spaniards went there looking for gold, the great stores of gold, they went there looking for gold, and some of them found it. But those that came to the shores of America, they primarily came here looking for God, and they found Him. That's what makes America different. God chooses to bless America. But a nation will fall. A nation will lose it all when we lose the sense of remembrance. Belshazzar forgot to remember the experience that Nebuchadnezzar had had. Number two, not only losing a sense of all remembrance, but also losing a sense of all reality. There it is in verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, had a great feast. Let's all get drunk. Let's bring in 1,000 of the leaders, nobles. Let's bring all the leadership in. You know what his problem was? He needed to drain the swamp. No, I told you, I tried to try to put it political. But he brought in all these leaders. He brought in all these women, brought in all these concubines. And then he brought in all this wine. He'd lost sense of all reality. Literally, the enemy was at the gate. Literally, the enemy was surrounding the wall. And he was in there with a party attitude, a party atmosphere. He had lost all sense of reality. America, we are losing all sense of reality. Political correctness with no basis of reality. Hyperbole, the fake news. All that's going on, all the buzz, is the jargon of fools. And it is tearing our nation apart. If we cannot realize today that we are a nation divided and Satan is having a ball with it. I stood there and looked at those pictures yesterday and I saw all these great Americans and all these great Americans that were fighting these wars. And you know, I began to look at those. You know, Brother Neil was Irishman. And I began to see in the picture, I could figure out there was a few Scots in the picture. I could see there was a few Italians. I could even figure out there's probably a few Germans in those American soldiers as well. But you know what? There was not a single hyphenated name among the bunch. They were all Americans. They stood side by side, shoulder by shoulder, in those foxholes, bombs bursting in the air. And they won. We stand as a nation today, divided, dismayed. You ask why? Same reason right here. Number one, our leadership. As far as I'm concerned, over the last 2 decades, past, present, future, I don't care which side you're politically, and I say that it's been at least 2 decades since we've had a decent president. I'll go ahead and say it. I think Ronald Reagan is one of the better presidents we've had in quite some time. But what was the problem? Their leadership was drunk on politics. Same thing here is the same things happening today. We can't get anything done in this nation because it's all political this and all political that. Number two, the sexual immorality. They were drunken on pleasure. That's the reason that all the concubines are there. That's the reason all the wine is there. Let's just have a great time. They were drunk on pleasure. An overbearing national debt. That's another problem that this fool had. An overburdening, overbearing national debt. They were drunk on prestige. Beloved, most Americans are living way beyond their means today. They're living a life they can't afford. By the way, I don't know if you study much history, the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire, you know what the number three problems were? Poor leadership, sexual immorality, and an overburdening national debt. That's what crushed the Roman Empire. But God gave birth to a place called America. There's still hope for America. We've got to regain our sense of remembrance. We've got to gain our sense of reality. Help us, Jesus. But number three, we have the danger of losing all sense of restraint. What has happened to us? Look here in verses 2, 3, and 4. It tells you what this party, it's a drunk fest. It's a pleasure-seeking time. And like, say, the enemy is about to come. Nobody's paying attention to what's going on. They were too blind. They were blinded by they could not see the connection between their moral decay and the national collapse. Don't think for a second it's not connected together in a place called America. If you're going to be an immoral people, it has a price tag attached to it. It has a huge price tag attached to it. Here the wine is flowing and everyone's free to do whatever they want. They had lost a sense of remembrance and the penalty that was paid by Nebuchadnezzar. They had lost their sense of reality. They were literally being surrounded by the enemy and they were about to be pressed upon. They had lost their sense of restraint and they were just there to have a good time. America is trying to entertain itself to death today. Look at all the ways that we get our information. I realize not everything with every household was not the Waltons or anything, but there used to be a day and time, and I loved as a little boy. I loved walking in the shadow of my grandfather. My grandfather, he was a witty kind of guy. He had one-liners for everything, and I know I inherited a lot of those from him. And you get to hear some of them from time to time. Where did he come up with that? Whoop one on a Spanish interpreter in Guatemala, they look at you like you lost your mind. That don't interpret. Look at our movies today. Our TV. Man, I loved watching Andy Griffith. And those old shows had a moral story to them. Even look at you can't hardly even watch commercials today. Sometimes I watch Cambron about halfway through and I'm trying to figure out, what are you trying to sell? Because, you know, what product do you have here? Because I see what you're putting in front of my eyes. Social media, internet, our music. Time out, Hollywood. We're trying to raise our kids to be pure and holy. Could you help us out a little bit? We no longer, as a people, it seems, to have any restraints on anything. Today you can be whatever race you want to be. I didn't know it, but you can be transracial. People are doing that today. You can be whatever gender you want to be. You can be a transgender. Read the other day, earlier, the Monday of this week, it's no longer referred to as a sex change operation. They're referring to it on your medical insurance. They're referring to it as a gender confirmation. And they're letting your Medicaid pay for it. We're so lost today, we don't even know what bathroom to go to, for crying out loud, and that's for real. We have lost all restraint. Oh God, come bless a place called America. And then lastly and fourthly, the danger of losing all sense of respect. I'm not going to hammer on any certain generation, the millennials or anything. I mean, it's just happening at all levels. We just don't respect each other anymore, it seems like. We don't have a healthy respect for God, and we just sang that song, I stand all of you. Oh, I stand in all of you on Sunday, but man, the way I live my life Monday through Saturday, it doesn't really reflect that I have a respect for you, a reverence for you, an awe for you. But Babylon had absolutely abandoned all respect. They were falling apart. And then came the writing on the wall. In verse 6, I find it very interesting. The king sobered up real quick. It said his face grew pale and his hip joints went slack. His knees were knocking. I don't physically understand how all three of those things can happen at the same time. But they did. Then we see in verse 7 through 9, he realized he had a crisis on his hands. But you know what? He had absolutely no answer for it. He had no answer for it. It was not the leadership that he brought in, the nobles that was there, the conjurer, everything that he could come up with. Nobody had an answer. And look what they did as a last resort.
they called in a man of God to straighten out their mess. You know, on 9/11, there for about 6 weeks, our churches were full, standing room only. Something happened. We didn't have an answer for it. We all went running toward God. But then Daniel did what I think more preachers need to do today. He began to take the word of God, and that he preached. He really, what he did, he preached a sermon. Without fear, without favor, no, keep your gold necklace, keep your robe, keep your stuff. I don't need a third of your robe. Because, buddy, when we get to the end of this, you can go ahead and hang that stuff around my neck and all that you did in verse 29, but it's not going to be yours to give because you're not going to live that much longer. Daniel stood up and he brought a word from God is what he did. He says, number one, let me give you a word about power. In verse 18, he says, power comes from God. God exalts man. Man, in return, should be exalting God. If you don't, there'll be a price to pay. He had a word about power. In verse 20, he brought him a word about pride. He said, Nebuchadnezzar lost his kingdom because of his foolish pride. And he says, young man, you have done the exact same thing before God that you saw your grandfather do. And it's going to have the exact same consequences, even worse. Then he brought him a word about punishment. You see, this is where we have a disconnect today in America. I know it's time, but I sometimes I like to preach. Sometimes I like to meddle. I got to meddle for a second. The day we took God out and prayer out of school, we messed up. Then we decided to take the law of God off the walls in our courthouse. We messed up. And then somebody came up with a bright idea that little Johnny and little Susie no longer needed to be punished at school. We messed up. Now, I'm not for beating kids. I'm not saying that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I don't need any emails, or for those of you that are watching live stream on Facebook, you're going to send it to me anyway, but I know where you're coming from. But let me tell you, when I was in first grade, Miss Kirtley, she was about as big as round as she was tall. She was a little short woman. But when I went into the first grade, I was wild. We were raised in the country. When we got ready to go hunting, we had to walk back toward town, okay? We were out in the country. And I had to be tamed down. Somebody needed to heat my rear end up just almost every day for me to learn what I was expected me to do in that classroom. And now today, look at the mess we have on our hands in a place that we call a classroom, a place of higher education. I beg to differ. But let me tell you what's happening, because we've got a whole generation that we've done that before. Now, guess what's happening? They're getting on airplanes thinking they can act any foolish way they want to. They're walking up to a police officer trying to take his gun away from him and think there's going to be no penalty, no punishment for it. And they're ending up dead on the street because of our foolishness, because of our pride. This is what's happening in America. A word of God about punishment. But then he brought a word of God about a person. And that person in verse 22 is you. Daniel's beginning to get a little age on him by this time. He might have been a teenager when Nebuchadnezzar hauled him off into Babylon. He's beginning to get a little age on him now. And you know what? I think he's beginning to realize God's going to take care of him. And whenever he needs to say something, he's going to say it. And I think Daniel, kind of like Nathan did to David, he walked up with that old crooked finger in his face that says, you. It's you. We like to get in our holy huddles and say, well, it's them, it's them, it's them, it's that group over there, it's them liberals, it's blah, blah, this, it's that group. No. God is looking at us. He says, it's you. You knew about his power. You know about your pride. You know about the punishment.
and yet you still rejected God. You lost all sense of remembrance. You lost all sense of reality. You lost all sense of restraint. And now you have lost all sense of respect for God and His holy vessels. And God's finished.
Simple interpretation. All you heard it many, many times, for you, Parson. The simple interpretation, the party's over. The party's over. And before this day is done, you're going to be dead. Beloved, I come to you today. Where are you at in your walk with God? Can you remember the day that you were saved? Do you have a sense of remembrance when God saved you? Has that reality, the true reality of the person of Jesus Christ, is that a reality in your life today? If so, let me tell you, there's a restraint in your life. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. And it should result in an awesome respect and love for God, for His people, for the lost, for every tribe, every tongue, every nation. But if it's all about you, God says there's a punishment. There's a penalty. And I stand here before you today as clear as possible. I can tell you, that is a heck of a price to pay. It's a place called hell. You can't work your way out of it. You can't pray your way out of it. Hell is permanent. But beloved, God did not make it for you. No. Matter of fact, He's put every barrier that He could possibly stack up between you and a place called hell. And one of those biggest ones is His Son, Jesus Christ. He says, if you'll admit you're in the sinner, if you'll repent of that sin, if you'll ask Jesus to be your Savior, you surrender. Surrender. And live your life for Him. Oh, let me tell you. Just as my brother yesterday, Charles Neal, 101 years old, stepped through death's door. It was in the mid-1940s, now closed. It was in the mid-1940s that all our soldiers were beginning to come home from the war from New York to San Francisco for all the different naval yards. And these soldiers, these sailors, these airmen, these Marines, they were all coming home. And there were ticker tape parades all over the big cities. And they're marching down every main street of any just about every town in America has a main street. And that's where those veterans walked. And there was a great celebration. But I told the crowd there yesterday, I said, let me tell you, I know of a celebration that didn't even hold a candle to that. And Brother Neil stepped into heaven. Woo! Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Oh, welcome home. What a celebration to see his bride again that he had been away from for several years now. Oh, no more saying goodbye. What a celebration. That could be yours. And it can start right here. It can start today. Heaven can be yours through Jesus Christ. You see, beloved, freedom has been bought and paid for through the blood of many a patriot. But eternal life has been bought and paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ and only Him. That's where you got to come, is to Jesus Christ, when every head bowed and every eye closed. Father God, we know the hour is long. Father, the time is short. But Father, also, we know that the time that could be within us, the time before us, Father, could be short. Father, there may be some of us here today that is just hanging on by your grace, by the very next life breath that you've extended to us, Father. And oh, Father, how I pray that we are saved, saved, saved. Oh, Father, there's one here today. Maybe they tried to come at an early age, but maybe pride got in their way. Maybe they tried again as a little older, and pride got in their way. Oh, Father, today I pray that you'll crush that pride and let them come. Let them come. Whosoever will may come, that they may come to Jesus. While there may even be a Christian here today that life is not going the way that they thought it would, or something has happened. They've been wounded. Something has happened to stunted their growth. But Father, they came today. For whatever reason, they came today. Oh, Father, meet them. Holy Spirit, come and minister to whatever need they have today. Father, this is your invitation. We give it to you, oh God. In the sweet, precious, dear name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's all sing.